I want to start by reading the Hebrew 10th chapter, verse 1. That's not what I want to read. Notes. That's not it. I'm sorry. Darrell, can you check to see if... Never mind, Darrell. Point. Did you start to feel a little bit uncomfortable for me there? Thinking I might be unprepared? Question. Does the Lord feel uncomfortable for us because we're unprepared? In the 9th chapter of Isaiah, ninth chapter of Isaiah, the second verse says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." I do not want us to be in darkness. I want us to be aware about what is about to happen so we can become prepared to face those things that are before us. In the rest of chapter 9, and you can read that, he's talking about several sins that the people of Israel have... several things by which they have sinned. And each time he lists something, he says, "And for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." And that's the hope I want us to remember as I rehearse these events that are about to take place. One other point. I feel that courage is needed to face those things that will soon come. You know, our President John F. Kennedy wrote a book. I guess he wrote more than one, but he wrote one called Profiles of Courage. And in this book, he told of the courage of several individuals. The courage that they had to do right in spite of what it might mean and cost them, basically in their political careers. But I believe that that book may have been a self-prophecy for his own life, because I think he gave his life. His life was taken because he started to do some of those things that those in power did not like. And one of the reasons I say this is that immediately after his death, as soon as President Johnson was sworn in, he changed back some of those things that Kennedy had reversed. He reversed those things. Now I'm going to read from the 21st chapter of Luke. I could have gone to the 24th chapter of Matthew and read pretty much the same thing. The wording is slightly different in the two chapters. And I will refer to some of the phrases from the 24th chapter of Matthew. But I want to start Luke 21:7. And it said, "Then they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" Matthew 24 adds to that, "And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And I believe that time is shortly before us. Verse 8 says, "And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them." Because as Matthew says in that same thing, he says, they will deceive many. "But when you hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." You know, there have been many wars, even since 1900. First and Second World War, Korean War, Vietnam, several wars in Africa and in Europe and Asia. There's been many wars, but he says the end is not yet. Verse 10, "Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." And we've seen these things happening. Verse 11 says, "And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places." I tried to find it. I don't know if some of you remember the earthquake I don't remember if it was Iran or Iraq, just 2 or 3 months ago, I think it was, where thousands were killed. There's been many earthquakes in recent times. There have been, there's predictions of earthquakes that they do it on a statistical basis. They say there's a certain percentage chance that there'll be, for instance, a major earthquake in San Francisco and Los Angeles along the San Andreas Fault in the next 10 years, let's say, a certain percentage. Next 20 years, bigger percentage. But they know that it will come. They know that earthquake will come. Those earthquakes, probably several along that San Andreas Fault. We had one just a year or so ago in Los Angeles. And they rate earthquakes on the basis of magnitude on what they call a Richter scale. And that Richter scale is, what is it? Every 10 up is 100 times more? Is that right, Harvey? Yeah. And most of these earthquakes, the one in, whether it was Iran or Iraq that killed thousands, the one in Los Angeles, were both around 6.4, 6.5. Well, we had one. See, I don't know if I have enough room here. I might have to just talk loud. I don't know if you can see this very good, but this shows the U.S. or the eastern part of the U.S. And right down here is New Madrid. And in that area in December 16th, 1911, there was an earthquake of magnitude 8.6. That's the strongest ever recorded in North America. And what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, maybe longer than that, no, time gets by. Anyway, there was a date set for an earthquake to occur there. And people watched and waited for that day to come, and people moved out, and there was fear and everything because they thought that earthquake would take place. Well, what happened? The date came and went by, and no earthquake. And what's happened since? People have relaxed. I want to show you something. If we had an earthquake of that magnitude today in that same area, and there's no reason to believe that it won't happen again. It's been predicted. There's a certain percentage chance. I didn't look that all up. But if we had one of that magnitude, I want to show you something. In this area, around about 150 or so miles from New Madrid, because of the structure of the land and so on, it's much different here than it would be out on the west coast. The earthquake, and I got nice neat circles here, but that, you know, some areas would be extend further out and so on. But there's three major cities in this area: St. Louis, Memphis, and Nashville. In that area, if we had one that strong today, there would be major, major damage in this area. Extending out to almost Kansas City, there would be considerable damage. And that includes Little Rock and a few other quite populated areas in here. Springfield, Illinois, and so on. On out to the next level, Kansas City, Chicago, Cincinnati, even Atlanta. Those areas would experience damage. There would be cracked foundations, chimneys would fall, this type of thing. We would have considerable damage even out here. And there would be some damage even in these cities, another layer on out, Omaha, Milwaukee, Detroit, Cleveland, and so on. There'd be considerable damage. Oklahoma City, there'd be some damage. You know that earthquake in 1911, that earthquake in 1911 rang bells in Boston. We built many big, tall buildings in those areas since, and none of those cities have the codes to build the buildings so that they can withstand even minor earthquakes. What would happen if instead of 8.6, that would be 100 times stronger at 9.6 or 10.6, 1,000 times stronger? That major, major damage would extend out another 150 miles or so outward. And the point I want to make here, is what would happen if we had an earthquake of magnitude 8 or 9 or 10 along the San Andreas Fault? We had one at New Madrid, maybe another earthquake somewhere else is just waiting to happen. What would happen to the economy of this country? We would have major, major damage. We would have friends and loved ones killed or injured. It would upset work, the production of goods and services. People wouldn't get paid. There would be famine. Think what would happen. What would they do for those injured from the more severely hit areas? They would probably bring them to areas like this that might not be so badly damaged. So there is, earthquakes, great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines. Some of those famines are the result, will be the result of, I'm reading again in chapter 21:11. Some of those famines will be the result of the earthquakes. And pestilences. They too can be part of that because of earthquakes. There have been many famines, especially in India and Africa. And
put this back up.
Over the last few years, but that will extend, maybe even worldwide. In Isaiah 24, verse 16 says, "From the uttermost part of the earth we have heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously." The leanness, the famine. And 19 and 20 there says, "The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again." That sounds more than just a 10 magnitude earthquake. Sounds like the whole earth may be shaking. And pestilences. Since 1900, in the early 1900s, there were great, or in the early years of this country, there's been outbreaks of cholera and black plague. Now there's AIDS. And in Africa, and threatening to extend further, another disease called Ebola, or something like that. There's the Gulf War syndrome. Seems strange. But that's probably due to a manufactured disease. And who knows but what AIDS and Ebola might be too. There's some that claim that. The last Thursday, there were reports that there was supposed to be an attack on this nation by Iran using germ warfare. You know, germ warfare is very easy for a nation to do. It's much easier than building all the equipment and going through all the technology that's needed to build an atom bomb or a hydrogen bomb. It's much easier. It's been called a poor man's atom bomb. It doesn't seem like there was any attack. Of course, maybe something like that you won't know for a while because of the nature of the incubation time of those diseases in the bodies of the people who have been contacted with the disease. Possibly the prayers of those who knew about this and the efforts of those who knew about this stayed this attack. But it could come. It says here, pestilences. I think you can read other places in the Bible and so on, that there will be plagues and pestilences. Then it goes on in verse 11, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. You know, in the past, comets were seen as a fearful sight. And there were those who tried to make Hale-Bopp here that we saw this last spring. They tried to make that a fearful thing. But this is probably future, that we will see great signs in the heavens. You know, there's been, if you look in several magazines and so on, you'll see articles. We've seen many articles in the last 2 or 3 years on the possibility of the Earth being hit by a comet or an asteroid and cause terrible damage. So, what I'm trying to show here is that these things are well within what we understand could happen. A few years ago, a lot of these things were considered, you know, how in the world could these things ever happen? But we're seeing the possibilities before our eyes. Verse 12 says, but before all these things, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. You know, there's reports that prisons are actually being built. If you listen to Christian radio, you probably have heard some of this, where these places, there's one, in Indiana, and another, they say that the Denver airport's set up to become a morgue. Things like this. I don't know how much truth there is in it. But there are those who have studied it a lot more than I have. And there are those who have reported that there are those people in higher power, even higher than our president, that desire to reduce the population of this world by 2/3. And guess who they desire to get rid of first? The Christians. It says in verse 16, skipping down there, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they be caused to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. I want to turn to Matthew 24, something there. That isn't in this part in Luke 11 and 12. It says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Another thing that is happening and will happen. In verse 20 it says, and when ye see Jerusalem compassed, this is back to Luke 21, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that destruction thereof is nigh. Verse 22 says, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. Matthew 24:20 says, pray ye that your flight not be in winter nor on the Sabbath. I can see on in the winter, but I'm not sure I understand why not on the Sabbath, but because it would be pretty much like any other day, it seems like, in being able to move along, except cold and snow and so on. In Jeremiah 30, verses 4 through 7, it says, and these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. I hope you understand why I said courage is going to be needed. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that there is none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Luke 21:25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Matthew 24:21 says, for then shall be great tribulation such as was never since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. I'm painting a very bleak picture, but I want you to remember that hope that I mentioned at the first. I'll get to that in a minute. I want to read a vision that I heard on the radio last Thursday evening. I don't know if you know a Tom Beam, but this is a vision by a Tom Beam. And I wrote it down from memory only. Darrell's and mine. There could be some slight errors in it, but I think it's pretty close. I want you to listen. It's similar to the last part of George Washington's vision, but a lot more detail. I'm going to read what I have here so I don't miss anything. It says, Chinese and Russian troops came together onto this land to battle, attacking from the north and from each coast. And all animals as they went, also destroying every building and all crops. Remember the second chapter of Joel? I think there's a parallel there. It goes on. There was a lack of food and water, which caused riots in the land. He mentioned that each racial group was trying to get for themselves what was left. Communities set up watches to keep people from coming into their areas. Vigilante groups were set up. They couldn't quell the riots. And the armies of this nation were away to other lands. Thus there was little resistance to those riots and to the advancing armies. of Russia and China. Then one family was seen with the enemy right before them. They thought they were doomed, but soon realized, as they stood before the enemy, that the enemy couldn't see them. The captain seemed to look right at them and then looked all around, but couldn't see them, so he commanded his troops to go another way. And in this vision, he knew that there were others being protected, as this family was. He also saw two men in a western park. He didn't know if they were apostles or priesthood or other priesthood. They were teaching the people the gospel and instructing them to go to the Independence area. And he read it this way, to Zion for protection. There were other areas where the same thing was happening. So many people fled to this area. Then these Russian and Chinese troops progressed to just north up here of the Missouri River. And they were delayed there, apparently held back by the prayers of the people in this area. Remember the second chapter of Joel where it talks about the solemn assembly? I imagine there was much prayer going on. But in this vision, he goes on. And here is a very important point that I want us to realize. But many of those that were here, those who were unrighteous, became so fearful that they tried to flee out of this area, but ran right into the hands of the enemy and were killed. The people who stayed here were saved. Wouldn't it take a lot of courage? Isn't it something how this fits, this vision fits what happened in the second chapter of Joel and other places, other revelations that have been given, including Latter-day Revelation? Then he immediately, one that was telling about this on the radio immediately told another vision. And I don't know if it was by the same man or somebody else. I didn't catch that. But in that, this area was protected by a clear dome, which he understood was the Spirit of God. The enemy had even sent a nuclear warhead, and as it came towards this dome, it was deflected away without doing any damage to this area. Can God protect His people? Can He protect them even in the greatest calamities? I hope you know that. I hope you know the answer to that. Back in Isaiah again, 24, verse 7, it says, the new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, all the merry-hearted do sigh, the mirth of the tabarets ceaseth, the noise of them that rejoice endeth, the joy of the harp ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with a song, strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down, every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction, Thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as a shaking of an olive tree and the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice and shall sing for the majesty of the Lord, and they shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. And verse 18 says, and it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall in the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. Those who left the area of protection. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. Isaiah 26. Verse 19 and 20 says, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Several years ago, I had a vision. And in this vision, I saw the armies of the enemy attacking. And I saw my family fleeing and being fired upon. But I remember I got to a place where we were greeted. Seems like by a man in a white robe. And he led my family down into a place of safety. But I was to go on with him. And as we approached, we headed towards the enemy. And as we approached, I noticed that the enemy did not see us. And we passed through the enemy camp. Can we have safety and protection from the Lord? Verse 28 in Luke 21 says, and when these things began to come to pass, here's the hope. It says, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know, I've heard that, lift up your heads, and quoted, lift up your heads and rejoice, but I can't find the word rejoice in there. I don't think it'll be a time of rejoicing. Lift up your heads and have courage. Lift up your heads and have hope. I want to read the rest of... I left off a phrase in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Can I find that again? It says... Oh, I hid it here so I wouldn't read it. But he shall be saved. It says, it is even the time of Jacob's trouble. It says, but he shall be saved out of it if he is faithful, if he is righteous, if he is prepared, he will be saved out of it. We could read in Daniel, the first 12:1. where it says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." How do we get our names written in that book? By righteousness. But it'll take courage, even with righteousness. I gotta read this. I got a couple minutes yet. Right? 2 Kings 6. This is one of my favorite scriptures. A story. Starting with verse 13, it says, "And he said, go and spy there where he is. They were looking for Elisha, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host, that they might come by night and compass the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do?" He saw that there were many armies, and they had no defense. But Elisha answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Remember that. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. How did he know? "And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the words of Elisha." Can the Lord protect us? Yes, he can. Hebrews, second chapter. Verse 1 through 4. "Therefore we ought to give more earnest heed." Listen. "We ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will." Luke 21:36 says, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man." What we have to endure will depend on our righteousness. Pray for help to increase our righteousness so that we might be prepared pray that we have courage to face what we must. I thank you.